It's the award-winning Days In Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 with Dan the Voice Diker, Billy Doc Niles, and Paul the Statman Reichert, brought to you by the Days In Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. O'Reilly's Auto parts, better prices every day. By the Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights beginning May 3rd. By FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dells Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Now here's Dan, Doc, and Paul with today's report.
Welcome in, race fans. It is Saturday, race show number 3 of 2019. This is the Days In Midwest Race Report here in 1460 WBOG, coming off an exciting opener at La Crosse. I'm radio man Dan Diker, along with Billy Doc Niles. The Penguin, Paul Reichert, is back. What rock were you hiding under for 3 weeks?
Just my work schedule was kind of crazy, but now I got a little easier work schedule now.
No more long lunch breaks that they thought were unacceptable.
When you quit your job, you have a much more manageable schedule.
Yes. He's got a better schedule. This program being brought to you by Days In, Big Boar Barbecue, Thomas Porter Speedway, FansArena.com, Midwest Racing Connection, the Thomas Porter Speedway, Jano Collectibles, and the GlassCarver.com. You know, breaking news when it comes. Oh, yeah, O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
O'Reilly's. Oh, you want me to sing it?
No, your nephew's here, and I don't want him getting sick as we just start the program.
Sammy would sing with me.
You can sing later. Breaking news
breaking
to
news.
Start the program.
You have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Big Boar Barbecue has opened their cook shack on the north side.
Yes!
Yeah. Corner of George and Gillette Streets last week. They were open 11 to 7 a couple of days. The hours of operation are going to vary from day to day based on staffing. They will post open days and hours on their Facebook page. You got to put Big Boar Barbecue on your Facebook page. They hope to extend hours shortly for that location. Stay tuned. That is my favorite location. I mean, I like going to the one in West Salem, but when I'm downtown La Crosse and I'm coming from Days In, I just want a straight shot right down to Gillette. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, that's and the shack has an abbreviated menu, but it's got the good stuff. It's got the pulled pork. You know, it's got the ribs. Yep, it's got the chicken.
Garlic bread. Yeah, look at Paul. Oh, yeah. He's like, let's just go do the
Paul
show
wants
there right
a,
now.
Paul wants an ear of corn. Nom, nom,
you know,
nom.
We could have actually taken the show there today, since Thomas Porter Speedway had to, unfortunately, cancel media day today, which I didn't want to see.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Mother Nature being a biatch today.
But Greg Oliver did let me know.
Yes.
That open practice will be held May 1st. It's a Wednesday from 5 to 7. And Thomas Porter Speedway holds practices every Wednesday. You know, lacrosse goes, I think, the first and third Thursday. Every Wednesday, starting May 1st, Thomas Porter Speedway will have practice from 5 to 7. Talking about that hot start to lacrosse Speedway last weekend, I kid you not, that had to have been some of the best racing I've called out there in years.
I tell you, all five main events were very intriguing to watch, especially the late model and the Sportsman, both of them coming down to the last lap.
The 6 for 6 dash.
The 6 for 6
went
dash.
Side, went 2 by 2. One of the heat races went 2 by 2. Mm-hmm. The late model feature has gone viral. I mean, Bruce Noodleman put together such a cool package of the last minute and 36 seconds of me calling that race and the different camera angles. Had like 444,000 views this morning, and there were people being tagged going, what track was this at?
Yep. It's an impressive one. If you haven't seen it yet, find Ultimate Lap video on Facebook. You know, like the page and check out that video. It is phenomenal.
Well, we know how it ended. Steve Carlson topped Jacob Gaty, who topped Nick Panitsky, and Ty Majeski took fourth of this one right here. And what was more thrilling was the post-race interviews that you had on the front straightaway. Here's and Nick Panitsky.
First of all, some pretty nifty moves to get to the front from the middle of the pack. Talk about some of that racing there.
Yeah, we had a long ways to go. Car was really good. I mean, I think everybody saw that. You know, we had a fun time coming up through the field there. It was fun racing for the finish. You know, 66 kind of did some uncharacteristic things. But I think, you know, we'll be back next week.
Third place in the Frostbuster. Give it up for Nick Panitsky.
You know, the best part of that interview was the crowd reaction.
Yep. You know, Nick, number one, was not a happy camper. In that interview, he says, you know, 66 did some uncharacteristic moves, and that got the crowd going right there. So some pretty impressive interviews here. You got to listen to the next two.
Well, we're going to listen to the
all
next
right,
two.
Listen to the next
because
two.
Because we already set the hook. Why would you just leave the worm wiggling out in the water?
Because
this
I wanna...
guy's acting like a rookie today. Good thing your nephew's in here just watching this up and close.
I want
Jacob Gaidy,
bait.
A stellar performance coming out of Minnesota. He took second.
Jacob Gaidy, interesting last couple laps for you, too. Talk about them last couple of laps.
Yeah, that was exciting. You know, I thought we were just going to go almost green to checkered there after that first restart, and I was kind of content with fourth. I was just kind of taking it easy. I wasn't going to catch any of those guys, and but then the restart came and things got wild. Ty gave me a hell of a shot going into one, and I thought I was pacing the wall, but kept it off and ended up getting lucky and getting a second out of it. Nick was by far the fastest car here, and you know, I'm just happy to come home second, I guess.
By the way, that was a hell of a save. Second place, your Minnesota State champion, Jacob Gaidy.
Jacob Gaidy just didn't seem like he fit.
No. You know, you could tell there was a strong Minnesota contingent, so they loved everything that Pininski and Gaidy had to say. Didn't like what Carlson
I did
had
like
to say.
Three state champions were lined up oh, 1, 2, 3, though.
Yes. And
then you got Majeski fourth.
Yep. And if you watch these interviews on our TV show, one thing you're going to see is right there, three of the top 10 in the nation from last year, right here in the Midwest, and that was impressive to watch.
And here's a post-race with the guy that won it all in Wisconsin last year, Steve Carlson.
Those last couple of restarts were rather exciting. Get a little loose going into one, it looked like.
Yeah, I had a little help getting loose, but it's going to be a great year. You guys should all come back because this is going to get better.
Oh, it looked like you were off on a Sunday cruise there. Then the 18 drops off, and then the yellows start to happen. All of a sudden, it turned into a little bit of work for you.
Well, yeah, I didn't qualify very good. I started up front, and I was just driving around there. I looked in the mirror and went, oh, they're coming now. I better get going. And good thing it was over when it was.
Folks, what you see on the front stretch right here is three of the top 10 in the nation. Give it up. Your feature winner on the Frostbuster, Steve Carlson!
You know, the interesting thing is, if you look at Bruce Nudelman's Ultimate Lap video, when I was calling the last three laps of that race, and Paul Reichert, you were sitting there with me, It looked like Jacob Gaidy had just all of a sudden slid up the track, bobbled in turn two, Majeski gets around him, steals that spot away again. If you watch Nudelman's video, you saw Majeski hit the left bumper of Gaidy's car so much he pushed it all the way in. It popped back up by the time Gaidy got loose.
Yeah, I had no idea about that until I saw that video from Bruce. I thought, wow.
Now, if you back that up an entire lap, you see Gaidy kind of going three wide and making Majeski the odd man out.
You know, that restart, it happened like that twice out of turn four, and I really give Gaidy a lot of respect because he was, you know, the start-finish line on a restart is not the start-finish line you see in the front straightaway. It's in turn four. There's a cone sitting there. Gaidy was on the accelerator as soon as he hit that. And now you're a late model driver. Would you test the waters to say, hey, I want to squeeze by three wide and maybe jump out to the race lead?
You can test the waters, but you still can't be past that leader when you do hit that official start-finish line. You could test the waters. You might be seeing black the next time around.
So, one of the best finishes we've had with the late models, 28 of them. Jimmy Summerfield made it 28, and he made it like 5 minutes before the feature for the late models. Is that Jimmy Summerfield?
Yeah, it is.
He's probably running two-year-old tires, just showing up to make enough money to buy some new tires.
And an oil change.
Yes.
So, again, I tell you, we're not just harping on the late models. I mean, the racing on lacrosse, which we're going to talk about in the entire program today, was simply fantastic. We've got some great results from the Dells coming up as well.
Yep, we're going to talk about the Dells. It was a ultra-fast win at the Dells.
A very familiar former sportsman driver, and then a name a lot of people don't know around here because, well, they don't race legends.
So that's going to be a fun one to talk about later in the show. But coming up next, we got lacrosse's sportsman feature winner. He's going to tell us all about that race and more. You're listening to the Days End Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
You don't have to fly to Kansas City to get great barbecue.
Are you ready for the Ultimate Platter Challenge? Jerry here at Big Boar Barbecue. Our Ultimate Platter is loaded with pork, brisket, chicken, ribs, three sides, and four slices of bread. If you can eat it all, it's yours free. I'll even give you a certificate for another one you can share with your friends. So how about it? You ready to take the challenge? Stop by, check out the rules, and dig in. And oh yeah, that's a mouthful.
On Friday, May 3rd, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of Friday night stock car racing. That's right, the Tomah Sparta Speedway is ready to rock once again. Modified, sportsman, hobby stocks, street stocks, mini stocks, Hornets, expect special divisions, novelty nights, and the Fall Classic. For schedules and more information, go to TomahSpartaSpeedway.com. Check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Friday Night Racing is back May 3rd at the Tomah Sparta Speedway.
We made it through the first turn. Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days Inn Midwest Race Report.
Welcome back, race fans. Radio Man Dan Dyker, Billy Doc Kyles, and the Penguin, Paul Riker. Do you notice that's two segments I've said the Penguin?
And he hasn't come across the table once.
It's going to stay like that because I have heard so many people on and off the racetrack that love the nickname. It just fits him. How about this DJ Penguin Paulie that was put on Facebook this week?
I saw that on Wednesday.
I loved it. Matter of fact, I want to have to go back and find. Jeff Thompson even broke it down.
He did. He did like a
What song was that? Oh, I'm going to have to find this here as we bring in our next guest. I'll tell you what.
You're dragging here, Dyker.
I'm trying, but it was just simply outstanding. I just happen to have a picture today that was taken of us. As a matter of fact, Terry Lawrence Niles just put a thing on there about it. And there it is. DJ Pauly, we do the best. Oh, yeah, it's all I do is win.
All we do is
announce, no matter what. Got microphones in our hands. We can never get enough.
Gosh.
That was brilliant. Sam Niles, what do you think of that?
That's fitting. That's very,
very
fitting.
We have people making rap songs after the trio now.
Yep, that can be a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. It just depends on your outlook.
I think the best caption somebody had on there was, did somebody open the buffet line?
Yeah, there you go. Notice who was lead at the point, too. It was you.
Yeah, I was going for it, man.
Big way to start the season last weekend, Sammy, with it's almost like a continuation of the end of last season. Talk about the momentum you carried after the end of last year.
Yeah, definitely the way that the season's wanted to be started by a lot of people. We had some issues throughout the beginning of the day. We missed the first practice session. Had to make a few adjustments throughout the day, but overall happy with how the car was. We got it right back to about where it was last year, and we couldn't be happier with it. So,
now, that first win last year, I mean, it was phenomenal. We got the whole family in on the group photo. Even Grandpa was in there. Talk about that one, because that had to be the most nerve-wracking 15 laps of your life.
Oh, yeah, that I remember it vividly. I mean, there was a couple competitors hot on my heels there, and, man, they definitely don't give that away, and that's something that I really, really enjoy about this class is there's some real competitive guys out there, and it's never really just an easy win for somebody. Everybody's got to work for it. So,
number 28 sportsman driver Sam Niles joining us on the program. Got his first feature win last week, but not after you were being chased down by the number 23 of Steve Schultz and the 50 of Tom Lethe, of course, as Steve Schultz was in his new car. His former car was purchased by Chris Schrady, who I thought had a kind of a formidable day. I think he learned some things about that car and has got a lot of changes to do over the next 2 weeks. But you were telling me in the elevator up to do the program today, Steve Schultz was giving you some flashes of white in your mirror that you just were a little bit too close for comfort.
Yeah, I got out after that restart. I got out and gave myself a comfortable lead. And, looked in the mirror once and I saw a blur of white, and that's definitely not what you wanted to see, because I definitely knew he had a fast car. I mean, he won the heat race, and really good competitor. I mean, we had some good racing in the heat race and then again in the feature. Just a really tough car to hold off.
Now, of course, Schultz was DQ'd in post-race inspection. Paul, what was that for? Do you remember?
I actually never heard what it was about.
Yeah, so the 23 was DQ'd. So actually, Tom Lethe takes second place. But I tell you what, rumor had it that Schultz is going to be back as a regular competitor every Saturday night at lacrosse. So that's got to make you feel good that all he's going to do is make that one adjustment, and you get a lot more competitors than four or five out there this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the more the merrier, I say. It definitely makes better racing for us, the drivers, and it puts on a better show for the spectators, I think. So
one of the things I noticed is he definitely had a lot of motor because he was really fast in the straights, but you could out-corner him. What was happening with the car? Because he ran you down in about five laps to make it interesting them last four or five laps. What was happening with the car that slowed you up that much?
You know, throughout the race, I'm just wondering if the split got bigger because it just started to get loose in the center. I mean, everybody watching could see it. I knew it. The guys behind me knew it. Really kind of lucky to be able to hang on to it, though. I mean, it was bad enough to slow me down so that they could catch up, but at the same time, not bad enough for me to lose the car, so...
Now, explain to our casual race listener, like, say, Paul, when you say the split and you talk about loose center end, explain, what does that mean?
Split is just the difference in size of the tires in the rear. I mean, you can run split in the front, too, obviously, but you really got to find that sweet spot with the tires. I mean, the tires we have this year are obviously different. They're I like them a lot better.
You guys run the D800s this year?
Yep. So we think it was the S800s last year, and it's the D800s this year. Bigger tire. I mean, the bigger tires that we have this year versus last year. I mean, last year we had some small ones. This year they're all pretty big. You know, just finding that sweet spot with the split. I mean, it was smaller than it was last year. The difference in size was different last year than it is with these new ones, but you just really got to find that sweet spot.
And how much a difference? How much larger is the S800s and the D800s?
Paul with the novice question.
Yep, I would just assume that.
But I like that, though, because myself, I don't know what the difference between the S800 and the D800 is.
Yeah, that's another good explanation point there.
Well, the compounds, I mean, the D800s are a faster tire. The tire sizes are different this year. I think there's a lot of the 86-inch tires. Last year, I mean, there were some 82s. There were 83s with the S800s. But, I mean, even with the bigger tire size, I like these tires a heck of a lot better than I do with the S800s, that's for sure.
Okay, now, since we're on the subject of split, especially on the big track at lacrosse, ideal split for late model is around 2.25 to 2.5, depending on the comfortability, how comfortable the driver is. What's the ideal split for a sportsman car?
Well, I mean, it can kind of vary, I guess, with chassis and what you're running. Last year, we ran 2.25 to 2.5. This year, actually, the car seemed to be working really, really well with that 2.75, about 3 inches of split in the back.
Holy cow. Yeah. No wonder you were loose in the center.
Oh, no. It opened up because, I mean, at the beginning of the race, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was perfect. It would come around in the center of the corner nice to get good drive off. It was just a really, really good setup.
Now, between the S800 and the D800, I mean, obviously the track conditions were almost prime last week, and, you know, it's just going to get hotter. Does it take, is there a difference in how long it takes those tires to really heat up on that track compared to maybe what you drove on last year compared to this year? Or do you not know because we don't have upper 80s and lower 90-degree temperatures yet?
It's really hard to say, I guess, dependent upon the weather, too, based on what the temperature is outside, the temperature of the track and all that stuff. From what I've seen this year, I mean, even just from this past Saturday, when we ran, these ones seem to get that grip a little sooner. And I'm wondering if maybe that's just cause they're newer. But I mean, even with the new ones last year, it seemed to take a little bit longer than these ones do. So I'm just wondering how long that grip's going to last with them. So
no, at lacrosse, you can't buy a whole set of new tires every week. You're only in sportsman, you're only allowed one new tire every other week.
Mm-hmm.
obviously grip level goes down as the weeks go on. So what kind of chassis adjustments you got to make to compensate for that?
I mean, maybe some split adjustments, maybe get that split a little bit smaller. Making adjustments with the screw jacks and everything, changing diagonal in the car as far as weight percentages are concerned.
So your own uncle is trying to make you give away secrets, and you're doing a damn good job of trying not to let that little cat out of the bag.
Yeah, everybody's got their thing, and everybody runs it a little bit different based on chassis and what the preference is of the driver. So what works for one person may not work for the other person. But
he's not going to tell you we sent all 50 shocks to the dyno.
Sam Niles, driven the number 28 Sportsman, winner of last week's feature of the Lacrosse Speedway, joining us in the program. Going to spend another segment with Sam here in just a moment. I want to remind you of the program being brought to you by the glasscover.com, Jano Collectibles, Midwest Racing Connection, fansweena.com, Dell's Raceway Park, O'Reilly's Auto Parts, Thomasport Speedway, where there is no practice today, Big Boar Barbecue, and Days In. Also, a reminder, the first two shows have been podcasted. There can be found at coolgold1460.com. Now, you're going to have to scroll to the bottom because all of last year's shows are up there as well. So just scroll to the bottom, you can find them. The final two. The Days In Midwest Race Report continues next at 1460 WBOG.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll not only get better parts at better prices, you'll also get highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals. From replacement parts to tools and accessories, O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get the parts you need at everyday low prices and with the great service you deserve. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Saturday, April 20th at Dell's Raceway Park, the rescheduled Icebreaker 100. The best in the Midwest Super Late Model drivers compete for the first race in the Alive for 5 series. Great drivers like defending champion Dennis Brunty, Ryan Farrell, Casey Johnson, Austin Nason, Mark Eswine, and so many more. The 602 Late Models and iNext Legends will add to the excitement. Qualifying at 1:30, Green Flag Racing at 3. Dell's Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on Highways 12 and 16. Don't miss this exciting kickoff to the racing season, the Icebreaker 100, Saturday, April 20th at Dells Raceway Park.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
This is Mandy Eckelberg, driver of the 68 Sportsman at the La Crosse Fairgrounds Speedway. You're listening to the Days In Midwest Race Report with Dan, Doc, and Paul on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. It's the Days In Midwest Race Report on 1460 WBOG, Google1460.com, where you can find the first two shows podcasted and on the TuneIn app.
Love that TuneIn app.
That's only the first time in three segments we've mentioned the TuneIn app.
You're slipping.
See, he was supposed to say love that
Love TuneIn that TuneIn app.
Yeah, and who's slipping?
Yeah.
he didn't get that.
You know, I don't need
I'm so glad your nephew's watching this today.
I can go find my own kids and take this
stuff. Want you to go home and tell Andy exactly what it's like behind the scenes, man. I tell you what. Your feature winner, Sam Niles, from last weekend's Frostbuster, joining us on the program today. He will also be on the Seven Rivers Racing TV show this week, Thursday through Sunday. Heading into last week's race, what kind of a chance did you give yourself to win the feature?
You know, with the...
And be realistic. I don't want to... Oh, I knew I was going to win it right out of the chute. Be realistic here.
Yeah, 100%.
Next question?
Yeah, come on. Let's continue the show. Come on.
Your father's doing real well with it.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, I mean, from the competition that we had last year, I mean, there was... I knew there was a number of different people that had a shot at winning. I was hoping that we had a really good shot, you know, with the new tires and with a little bit of changes that we made. Overall, really happy with it. But like I said, there's a number of different people that could have won, so it was really kind of up in the air.
You know, I'm going to hear two questions here real quick. Number one, our first couple of race shows, we always sit back and we don't name a single driver that's going to be a hands-down shoe-in to win a race. We just don't do that, nor do we do it for who's going to win a championship. There's blocks of drivers. When you look at Sportsman, there's probably 7, 8, 9 that have a chance to win this thing this year, and your name has constantly been thrown up in the mix. One thing I thought was real interesting Saturday that you and I, Billy and I, would see last year is Billy's the pit reporter. You lost some races, and you lost a lot of positions. Something you were doing coming out of turn two, you would bobble, you would come, I mean, I don't even know how you would call it, but it happened 5, 6, 7 times, and I don't think we ever got to ask you last year, what was going on last year between turn two and turn three? You just... you would lose something that we just kept seeing all the time that we didn't see at all one time Saturday.
I think a lot of what that has to do with is just consistency and trying to keep up with everybody because, like I said, I mean, different cars work in different spots of the track really well. This year, I mean, this past week, there was really not a whole lot of people to follow, so I didn't really know where I was lacking or where I wasn't.
Now, there's a good point. You had no one to follow, so what did you teach yourself? Did that give you a better chance to learn what your car can do out front by yourself, or do you learn more chasing people down?
Well, I mean, there's an equal opportunity for both, I think. There's a nice opportunity for you to learn where your weak points are when you're by yourself. I think just as a driver. But as soon as you start following people that you know are as fast as you and maybe some that are faster or a little bit slower, then you start to notice where your car might not be working ideally where you want it to. Being out there by yourself kind of really works with the consistency of how you're driving, and I think that's really what changed from last year. Is just the mindset and the consistency is something that I really wanted to work on from last year to this year, and I think that's something that I think I'm doing pretty well. So
obviously in your progress in the last 3 years has been I think phenomenal.
The first year, all you heard was, why is that Niles kid racing? Why does he bottom feed? Why does he just keep chopping people down? He's chopping them in the corners, And, of course, the negative comments have gone away. And now I'm seeing, wow, who's this 28? Boy, has he grown up over the past 3 years.
Well, number one, yes, the driving style has changed. But number two, you've had some pretty good help in the offseason the last 2 years, making significant changes to that car. And for those who don't know, that's the Greg Scheck championship car from 5, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Who's been helping and what kind of big changes have you made to make that car as competitive as it is?
We had some help last year and in the off season this past year and the year before from Jason Starkey. He really, came to us and said, I think that you got some potential, and he really helped us update that car and get it where it needed to be. Because, from where we were the first year, you'd go and you'd look around the second year, and you could just see differences with cars. He helped us update to where we need to be, and that kind of really helped set that car up where it needs to be.
Now, what kind of changes do you make? I mean, obviously, you're off for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure winning your first feature, you'd like to just get back out there on Saturday instead of having to wait 2 weeks. Any major changes you think you're going to have to make before race number two, knowing you've already gone out there and won one?
There's a couple changes that I think we're going to make. Just dealing with suspension of the car. I think we might change a spring here and there, or, just kind of get the car where it needs to be, because there are some spots on the track where it can improve. And I think we kind of pinpointed where we need to work on, and I think it's going to be quite a bit better than it was last week.
First thing that Paul pointed out when we got back into the tower after we were down to the pits, you were impressed at his vinyl job.
Oh, yes, that is some great-looking vinyl you got on that
car. That is a pretty sweet vinyl job there, Sammy. Talk about that. Where's the inspiration for that coming from?
I guess... I don't want to say from you because I it's you. But.
You ungrateful little.
He only had one star in his car. You got like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that that the inspiration for that is just for some odd reason over this off season I really kind of grew fond of the red, white, and blue. Just dealing with the country. I part of me just wants, you know, maybe some veterans that are at the Speedway or people that watch the races when they're on TV, just to kind of know that we support them.
Oh, I'm a veteran, and I stood there during the national anthem, man, and I saw that, and I was just sitting back going, I like, and then then I see you down in the winner's circle, and as a vet, that's the first thing I saw, was how patriotic it was. I'm sure other people may not have seen it like that, but I did.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it was outstanding.
There were some up in the air ideas about what we wanted to do with the car, but the red, white, and blue thing, you know, we were kind of hesitant to do on the black car with the blue, but I think it turned out really nice. I got to thank Bobby Frisch and Frisch Signs. Down out of boy for that. He does a really, really nice job.
And at least it's not that ugly tiger stripe crap that his dad went to here years ago that you had on your go-kart. Go-kart was fine, but I don't want to ever see that. I don't want to see the Bengal stuff come out unless Andy's actually coming back himself.
Well, you know, Becker, you may be surprised next year. That's all I'm going to tell you.
We need a breaking news sounder. And then we play it again a year from now.
Sammy, we only got a couple minutes left here. Why don't you talk about some of the great sponsors you got helping you out?
Because I know you've got a boatload again.
Yeah, we got some new faces joining us this year. We want to thank Coney Island again for being the main sponsor.
Oh, Coney Island and Holman finally. Oh, I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see the free hot dog gift certificates come out. Or, you know, I'm waiting for him to say, hey, Diker, Coney Island,
they want to stay in business, which means you have to stay away from the free food.
Hey, when they used to be on the north side, man, I used to go in there and just kill it like there was tomorrow.
But it was Coney Island. We really got to thank them. They were with Greg Scheck, too, and they kind of came over and helped support us. The Turner family we recently added, really got to thank those guys, too. Premier Spine Health and Injury, they're with us for the second year in a row. We got Leonard's Trucking, just started this year. Advertising Concepts helped us get some pretty cool jackets. Really got to thank them for that. Feature Sports Bar and Grill out of Holman. This is their third year back with us again. Seth's Auto Repair out of Holman is a brand new one this year. Really got to thank them. And then we got BNC Trucking this year out on Alaska, too.
And thank goodness for Seth. His car burned up at Mississippi Thunder Speedway during practice last Friday. And I don't know if you saw that or not, but that was pretty bad. I guess there was something broken.
Fuel rail broke, and it just lit up.
The whole car, he was still in there, just burst into flames. And I know he gave a lot of kudos to the safety crew. And Seth's a great guy.
And another thing, you mentioned Coney Island. Little history lesson, they were on Grandpa's car back in the early and mid-70s. Mm-hmm. So they've been with the Niles family for a long time.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's free – I think Jesse would like a free chili dog, too, here, right, sometime down the road.
Yeah, it's nice to want, isn't it?
Sam Niles heads into race number two here with a big bullseye in his back to start the early race season as he has feature number one under his belt at the Frostbuster. Sam, we appreciate you coming in, joining us in the program, and good luck and continued success in the 2019 season.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was really fun to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
And before we take a break, I'll do it. I'd like to thank Mom and Dad. He forgot to thank Andy.
Oh, hey, Jerry. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa.
We go. We're out of time.
The TV show to fix that one up.
Hey, we don't have enough time to thank the uncle, so let's just wrap it up.
There we go. We're going to be right back with more of the Days in Midwest Race Report next in 1460 WBOG.
On Friday, May 3rd, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of Friday night stock car racing. That's right. The Thomas Sparta Speedway is ready to rock once again. Modified, sportsman, hobby stocks, street stocks, mini stocks, hornets, expect special divisions, novelty nights, and the fall classic. For schedules and more information, go to ThomasSpartaSpeedway.com. Check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Friday Night Racing is back May 3rd at the Thomas Sparta Speedway.
We issued the Ultimate Platter Challenge and you said yes. Hi, this is Jerry at Big Boar Barbecue. Congratulations to Ethan Teske and Adam Allberg. They took the challenge and finished in under 30 minutes. It was a joy to behold. Half a pound of pulled pork, half a pound of brisket, half a rack of ribs, half a smoked chicken, 3 pints and sides, 4 slices of bread. Now it's your turn. Take the challenge, get the entire platter for free and another one to share. The Ultimate Platter Challenge at Big Boar Barbecue. And oh yeah, that's a huge mouthful.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we promise you'll get better parts, better prices every day. Our stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices, and our friendly, well-trained professionals are standing by to help. So stop in and see how five simple words drive everything we do. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now back to Dan, Doc, and Paul on the Days in Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. It is the Days in Midwest Race Report here on 1460 on BOG. I'm radio man Dan Dine, along with Paul Reichert, and he is the Penguin, of course, and Billy Doc Niles. Yeah, I did get some of the voice back there after that thrilling call last Saturday night at La Crosse Speedway. And you want to talk about some thrilling calls. I heard quite a bit from the Dells Raceway Park Icebreaker 100. The names that came out for this thing were phenomenal.
Yeah, you had, of course, our favorite, the old guy. I'm sorry. Skylar Holzhausen, Austin Nason, Morrissey, John DeAngelis Jr. You had the who's who of late model racing, super late model racing at the Dells. And boy, today, from what everything I've heard and read, they put on one heck of a show.
Well, Casey Johnson started out the day. You call him the ultra fast. Well, he did pick up the $250 fast time award, then finished eighth in the dash, and that's where he started the event. Rich Bickle picked up $250 by winning the dash in the pole for the Icebreaker 100. And that's a hard thing to do, is not only get the pole at the Dells, but keep the pole at the Dells with knowing who's behind you.
Oh, yeah, which, you know, probably some of the eight fastest super late models in the state, and they're all breathing down your neck. Bickle is, you know, Bickle's got hundreds of years of experience. I exaggerate to clarify.
And, you know, as you bring him up, there's an autobiography that was just written about him. It's going to be released. Man, I want to say that is in May or June, and the response so far is incredible. You would think you've seen that.
I've heard about it, yep.
You would think this was a book written about Dale Earnhardt. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the response I've seen. We're going to get the author on here in a couple of weeks. He's going to send us some complimentary books to read before we have him on the program.
Yeah, the title was from the Barnyard to the Brickyard or something like that.
Yeah, the life and times of Rich Bickle. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I don't even know how many years ago I got this. It had to have been maybe my third year at the La Crosse Speedway, and I'm not sure who I got it from, but I have an original still in the package, never opened up, Popeye's Chicken, Rich Bickle die-cast car that's autographed by him.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah.
You should have that bad boy appraised. Just, Meteor, I wouldn't sell you, but let's just see how much you're worth.
Yeah, you know, well, when I moved last year, my man cave stuff is still in boxes, and I just happened to pull that out the other day, and thought, wow, that's, wow. I mean, how long ago did he run the Popeye's Chicken car?
Oh, wow.
It was a yellow car with red writing on it, red numbers.
That had to be late 90s?
Probably.
Mid-late 90s when he ran that, yeah.
Yeah, just dug that out the other day, and I'm going to take it with me because he's going to be at the Joe Shear Classic May 5th in Madison. Yep. I'll be there to announce the mid-ams. I'm going to take that down and see if he remembers ever signing that thing because I just thought it was pretty cool. But getting back to Bickle, he and John DeAngelis Jr., they led this race for quite a bit, but then you know what happens at the Dells. Caution.
Yep.
Speedy Lemons almost wore a shoulder as many cautions as he was throwing.
Yeah, Speed, a long-time fixture there. By the way, we hope he gets better. A little battle with the C-word going on there.
Got a huge benefit, by the way, that I'll be DJing June 21st in Tomah, and we have probably about $30,000 worth of giveaways already.
Wow. Anyhow, we got nothing but the best thoughts for Speedy in his battle with this, but yeah, you know, with cautions, you know, you see it at every track. You know, the guys who are the fastest at the beginning of the night, when a caution shows up, all of a sudden they go from mid-pack right to the front. Yeah, and that's no different there. Skyler got to the front. Casey got to the front. You know, Austin Nason was coming. Andrew Morrissey was coming. And it turned out to be a phenomenal finish.
Casey Johnson takes home the $3,000 winner's check. Holzhausen would finish second. He gets the $250 hard charger bonus, while Bickle had to settle for third. Andrew Morrissey, fourth, Austin Nason, and Brown at the top five. I kind of wonder why. I mean, I know Skylar Holzhausen's got his small family now, and he's got his, what's the name of that company he has? Sky something. He builds like
metal things.
Yeah, like tables and really cool things like that. A Skyco or something like that. Wonder if he's going to race more this year than that in his family's. You know, his children will get a little bit older.
I guess only time will tell. Lately, the last few years, all he's been doing has been hitting, you know,
big money
races. Some of the big money races.
Because, you know, the last time he won a big money race, and then he kind of started to tail off. He won that $10,000 race up in Minnesota.
Yep, he won that $10,000 race at Elko. And then the last few years, his schedule has been pretty close to the same thing. You know, Icebreaker, Sheer Classic, a couple of other big ones during the summer, and then finish the season off at Oktoberfest.
The UMA 602 Icicle 25 late model feature was also held at the Icebreaker at the Dells last weekend. And Dave Trout, who moved up from the Sportsman Division over the winter, took his new ride to Victory Lane on the first try in 2019. Of course, he's got some help with that car. Some folks from around Florida called Frank Pryor and the wife Bubbles the company helping him out with that car. But who else would you think was going to win race number one?
Yeah, no. Well, you know, you got Lensing in there. You got Rick Coppernall in there. Bobby Frisch is in there. You know, guys who have run stuff like this before. And then Trout, first time in a, I guess you could call it a late model, because it is a late model with a little tailored back fashion. But no surprise, you know, the track that he dominated in the Sportsman class starts out with a win in the 602 late models.
Watertown's Jeff Steinberger started things off setting fast time with a 14.343. Fast Dash was won by Dan Lensing of Rockford, and he's got a pretty sharp-looking UMA as well.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that over the winter, and even people had the big wow faces on that. That's a pretty impressive-looking ride.
Bobby Frisch, Rick Coppernall, and James Story rounded on the top five for the UMA 602. And that was the first race at the Dells. Paul Reichard, why don't you tell us about the NX Legends at the Icebreaker?
Yes, well, the Great North Legends from Minnesota got together with the Wisconsin Fast Track Legends, and the Minnesota boys ended up claiming the victory with Austin Yar scoring the win in the 20-lap feature over fellow Minnesota driver Tristan Swanson. Jar was under heavy pressure by Swanson, and they swapped the lead back and forth. Until Yari ended up coming up on top. It's over Swanson with Ryan Johnson coming home third. And John Lemke was fourth. Whoa.
Yeah, Lemke's pretty stout in these. He's pretty tough to beat at Elko.
And of course, his son Derek's been successful in Legends too. And Frank Butel claimed the fifth spot. Lemke was fast qualifier, actually, for the 15.669. Noah Eisenhower came all the way up from Freeport, Illinois. He was the Rookie of the Year last year for the Dells in the Legends. He won the odd dash, and Prior Lake Minnesota driver Robert Carter claimed the even dash.
You know, Minnesota drivers had a pretty good weekend when it came to starter division cars. I mean, the guy from Minnesota won the Hornet feature at La Crosse.
Well, Ridge Owine's
week.
Been racing those.
Yeah.
Man, I would say, because he did a couple of races for about 2 or 3 years with our Midwest Dash Series. And he does the enduros.
Yeah, that's what he said in his Victory Lane interview. It's just an enduro car, and I was doing some setup work with it today.
And see, that's the same thing Troy Tuma, former lacrosse late model driver, was doing. He didn't do too bad. Who was it, 86?
Victor Van.
What came down with Troy, and they were just testing out their enduro cars.
This was the first time Victor ever ran.
Victor got a little crumpling action going on in front of the flag stand late in that race, but he told Troy, tell you what, man, I may be coming back to La Crosse. It was the first one he'd ever driven in any kind of a race car. Said he had a blast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, like getting back to my original point, these guys from Minnesota and the Hornets and the Legends and the Street Stocks making appearances here at La Crosse when their track ain't running, and it's cool to see them here, and it's cool to see them do well.
Oh, yeah. And the way that their track in Minnesota is running or not running, they're going to be here quite a bit more because they only have, I think, 7 regular races scheduled this year and a bunch of other stuff going on. So instead of having races every night, we could see a lot more of them. Because, I mean, Nick Panitsky's Panitsky, Jacob Gady.
Sounds like Jeff Partington's going to be spending a lot of time down here this year.
In Susie. Hey, I earned myself some cookies, too, by the way, because Renee Fredrickson, Kevin Rams will like this part. She always gets us cookies for Oktoberfest. She told me if I called it Little Susie, that she would make two of my favorite kinds.
So do you know the story behind that? I showed you this on Saturday.
So, by the way, I have sugar and peanut butter cookies coming.
Nice. But the story behind Susie is I saw the Facebook post. Our buddy Dan Troush, He used to run late models with us for a couple of years. He was at the Godsmack concert in Milwaukee, and he posts on Facebook, well, since my girl Susie is at the racetrack with another guy, mm-hmm. Right away, we know who Susie used to belong to.
Of course, Frederickson had to jump on. That's Danny's sister, and I earned myself some fresh homemade cookies. When we come back, we need to talk to Paul Reichert. Are we going to let Paul Reichert actually do a segment after he stiffed us for 2 weeks?
You know what? I have a certain spot in that segment where if he doesn't say it right, the hand's coming across the table.
That's coming up next on 1460 WBOG.
Saturday, April 20th at Dells Raceway Park, the rescheduled Icebreaker 100. The best in the Midwest super late model drivers compete for the first race in the Alive for 5 series. Great drivers like defending champion Dennis Brunty, Ryan Farrell, Casey Johnson, Austin Nason, Mark Eswine, and so many more. The 602 late models and iNext legends will add to the excitement. Qualifying at 1:30, green flag racing at 3. Dells Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on highways 12 and 16. Don't miss this exciting kickoff to the racing season, the Icebreaker 100, Saturday, April 20th at Dells Raceway Park.
We issued the Ultimate Platter Challenge, and you said yes. Hi, this is Jerry at Big Boar Barbecue. Congratulations to Ethan Teske and Adam Allberg. They took the challenge and finished in under 30 minutes. It was a joy to behold. Half a pound of pulled pork, half a pound of brisket, half a rack of ribs, half a smoked chicken, 3 pints and sides, 4 slices of bread. Now it's your turn. Take the challenge, get the entire platter for free and another one to share. The Ultimate Platter Challenge at Big Boar Barbecue. And oh yeah, that's a huge mouthful.
Are you looking for comfort under the sun? You can find that and a whole lot more with your stay at the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island, La Crosse. The Days Inn has 148 spacious rooms, an indoor pool, hot tub, fitness room, and plenty of banquet space to host that big meeting or wedding reception. If you're hungry, food and drink are just steps away at Heroes Bar and Grill inside the hotel. So if you're planning a pool party, wedding reception, or just want a night away in a jacuzzi suite, Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center on French Island is your stop under the sun.
This is Mike Carlson, driver of the number 50 late model at the La Crosse Fairground Speedway. You are listening to the Days Inn Midwest Race Report with Dan, Doc, and Paul on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome back, race fans. It's the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on 1460 WBOG. That TuneIn app has WBOG on it.
And we love that TuneIn app.
Soon enough, I'm going to be back on my mower with the TuneIn app piping through the headphones.
Yeah, I actually listened to the show last week. I was pretty impressed with sounding that back there.
I tell you, sexy voiceover chick just nailed it through the ballpark this year.
Sexy voiceover chick. She's getting better, by the way. She's still not 100%.
Surgery,
yep,
yeah.
She's getting better. I talked to her on Easter. Well, I texted with her because she can't really talk that much. But she is getting better, and hopefully in a few weeks here, she'll be back to normal.
Well, just a reminder, Big Boar Barbecue in West Salem, they are located in the corner of George and Gillette Streets. That is their summertime location, along with their location in West Salem. Hopefully we're up there taping the TV show again this year.
Ooh,
Nom, nom.
Paul Reichert's back with us again, and Billy, really, we had a fantastic pose here in the studio. Was that last week?
That was last week.
That we gave to former ARCA Midwest Tour PR director Kevin Ramsell to do his little meme doctoring up of. He failed us completely because he couldn't think of what to do, and Billy even told him.
I wanted the corny dude in between the two of us.
Nom, 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 and he couldn't make it happen. So now we have this great side-by-side shot of us that was totally wasted, so we're going to have to do something with that later in the year.
I think we should Photoshop Sam in there. But, hey, you know, it is that time of the—
Can he eat like Paul, though?
No, nobody can eat like Paul.
Okay.
It is that time of the program where our buddy Paul lets you know who won all across the country. Here's Paul Reichert with Reichert's Race Rewind.
Bill, thank you very much. Of course, Easter weekend kind of slowed things up, and, of course, a little rain came around. But we do have some results for you. Starting with the Lucas Oil Midwest Late Model Series Friday night at Davenport, Iowa. Chase Younghans won that race. On Saturday, Berlin Raceway over in Grand Rapids, Michigan, have their season opener. Their icebreaker race paid $4,000 to win.
Whoa.
Yeah. And how about this? Chicagoland racer Boris Yurkovic ran the sixth chassis, super late model chassis ever built by Rowdy Manufacturing.
Kyle Busch.
Yep. And he raced for the first time ever at Berlin and he won, beat perennial Berlin Hachu Brian Campbell, and that win guarantees him a spot in that big $20,000 to win Money in the Bank race in June.
Nice.
When was the last time Boris had been to Oktoberfest?
I would say three, four, five years ago.
With a win like that, you never know. You might see him come October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boris the Spider.
Yeah. Cedar Lake Speedway finally got their season opener in. Jesse Glenns won the NASCAR late model feature. Grant Southworth took the NASCAR modified feature. And Dan Gullickson won the USRA late model feature.
It was good to see them get it in because they tried to race twice
that
last
three-day
week.
That three-day opener got completely lost. Dells finally got the icebreaker in on Saturday. The ultra-fast Casey Johnson won the big show.
We'd have stopped tape and slapped you up if you didn't get that right.
Skylar Holzhausen second, and how about Rich Bickle third after starting on the pole in that race? That was impressive.
Casey's going to have to start paying us every time we say that.
Yes.
Actually, we're going to copyright it.
Yeah. TM.
Dave Church won the 602 late model feature, and Austin Yar won the Legends feature. Knoxville had to wait a week before they got their season opener in. 410 Sprint Feature 1-2 Brian Brown. And, of course, lacrosse got their season started with the Frostbuster. What a finish that was. Steve Carlson claiming the victory in the NASCAR late mile opener. Badger Midgets and the IRA Sprints both opened their season at Beaver Dam Raceway. And double your pleasure, double your fun for Billy Balog. He won them both.
Man, I tell you, I saw a picture of what Beaver Dam looked like last week.
Yeah.
That looked like one of the best looking. You know how you drive through Wisconsin, you got the ridges and the valleys, and you just see that perfect cornfield that's maybe real dark this side, then the other side it's a little bit lighter. That's what Beaver Dam looked like. What a gorgeous track they had.
Oh, yeah. I'm Sage Dury Brothers. Late miles were at Cedar County Raceway in Tipton, Iowa. Justin Kay won that race. In fact, that's the fifth straight year he's won the IMCA Deary Brothers race at Tipton.
Okay, now it's Deary Brothers. Any relation to Jack or Chuck?
No, I think it's a car dealership.
There's car dealerships all around Iowa.
Lucas Oil Midwest Late Models at 34 Raceway in West Burlington, Iowa. Bobby Pierce scored the win. Modifieds of Mayhem Tour at the Watermelon Capital Speedway in Cordelia, Georgia. That went to Zach Knowles. Past National Super Late Models at Hickory, North Carolina for the Easter Bunny 150. Derek Ramstrom won that race. Of course, there was a little action between Bubba and Preston Pelletier in that
race.
Bubba's not happy.
And the Sunoco Super 8 Super Late Model Series at Auburndale Speedway in Winter Haven, Florida. David Green, no, probably not that David Green from the NASCAR Xfinity Series, won that race. And that wraps up Records Race Rewind.
Well, he's really getting into it with that Records
I like
race.
That, yeah. He's trying
wait
to get
he,
that.
Wait till he makes us mad and it turns into the Penguin Pit Stop.
The Penguin Pit Report on WBOG. Days in Midwest Race Report is going to continue as we close out the program next. That is on WBOG.
On Friday, May 3rd, Western Wisconsin will once again come alive with the sights and sounds of Friday night stock car racing. That's right. The Thomas Sparta Speedway is ready to rock once again. Modified, sportsman, hobby stocks, street stocks, mini stocks, hornets, expect special divisions, novelty nights, and the fall classic. For schedules and more information, go to thomaspartaspeedway.com. Check out their Facebook for events, giveaways, and a whole lot more. Friday Night Racing is back May 3rd at the Thomas Sparta Speedway.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll not only get better parts at better prices, you'll also get highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals. From replacement parts to tools and accessories, O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get the parts you need at everyday low prices and with the great service you deserve. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Saturday, April 20th at Dells Raceway Park, the rescheduled Icebreaker 100. The best in the Midwest Super Late Model drivers compete for the first race in the Alive for 5 series. Great drivers like defending champion Dennis Brunty, Ryan Farrell, Casey Johnson, Austin Nason, Mark Eswine, and so many more. The 602 Late Models and iNext Legends will add to the excitement. Qualifying at 1:30, Green Flag Racing at 3. Dells Raceway Park, located 5 miles west of Wisconsin Dells on Highways 12 and 16. Don't miss this exciting kickoff to the racing season, the Icebreaker 100, Saturday, April 20th at Dells Raceway Park.
There's the white flag. One more lap on the Days in Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460.
Welcome Welcome back one more time, race fans. It's the DZ Midwest Race Report on 1460 WDOG. You can find the first two shows podcasted at Google1460.com, and you can hear the program every Saturday at noon on the TuneIn app.
Love the TuneIn app.
Billy Doc Niles, Paul Reichert, the Penguin, myself, Radio Man Dan Dyker. Sportsman feature winner Sam Niles has been sitting in with us throughout the program. This is the first time in the 9 years we've had the show you've been on. What do you think?
You guys are a riot.
And there's no food in the studio, which makes things better.
Well, yeah, that means there's more of you talking and less of...
Yeah, that is true. They would even kill my mic. It still doesn't work like that, though. So, you know, Billy may not show up for a couple shows this year. Are you going to help fill in?
Oh, I will. I'll gladly do that. You know, I'll step in and improve where he lacks is all I'm going to say. Oh.
Now, you would have to sit across from Paul Reichert. Are you up for the challenge of dealing with a penguin?
Maybe.
Jesse,
maybe.
Jesse, our producer, is here. Unplug his. Don't just turn him off. Unplug him.
Hey, we didn't get to ask you in the first couple of segments, how much tutelage do you get from your dad? Of course, people don't know Andy Niles. How long did he run late models?
I don't know. I ran late models for, what, about 18 years of my career. I think he ran somewhere around the 15, 16 area.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't run since...
It's been at least four or five years?
I think it's been five.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, because I think he stopped right when I picked up.
In 30 seconds, how much do you listen to him on race day, and how much do you go into your own world?
You know, if he's got something that he wants to point out, or, you know, he'll ask me how the car was, and I'll tell him. You know, sometimes I'll listen to him, but if I feel like I know what I got to do, and, you know, I'll listen to him, and I'll just nod. And
nothing wrong with that.
Typical kid.
Oh, come on now.
Now, you know... Something that's going to happen on the radio show this year, it happened to me three times this year doing Smokers.
Yes.
We're going to have to make this happen on the TV show. We're going to bring Sam back.
Okay.
And we're going to have him take a tin foil, a big pie tin full of whipped topping, and we're going to stick it out in what we were going to fathom to be snow so it drops the temperature on it, and we're going to shove it in Paul's face like we did his racing smoker. Quickly, tell us about that.
Oh, that was a riot. No, we had that, and we got it out, and all of a sudden, you know, it's getting warmer, and we're not doing the pie in the face quite yet, so my mom took it, stuck it out in the snow, and, you know, it's time now to do it. Okay, well, she went out and got it, and, man, it was cold in my hands. I can only imagine how it felt in your face.
He not By only hit me in the face, his hand went up, and it was so far in my nasal cavity, I smelled dairy for 2 days. I kid you not.
By the way, thanks to you, you are a trendsetter. It happened at almost every smoker he
DJ'd
after that.
It did. We raised quite a bit of money doing that, too.
Yeah, it's nice that people support it that way, and as long as somebody gets a pie in the face and everybody gets a good laugh. I didn't let you suffer alone. I got it.
Oh, he got it. Yep. He did. But I got the brunt of the cold.
Yeah.
And again, I smelled dairy for 2 days. Laugh it up, Paul, because it's going to happen on the TV show this year.
It can happen to him next year at the smoker.
See? There we go. Setting up already. Man. Program brought to you by Big More Barbecue, Tomasport of Speedway, O'Reilly's.
O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
Ow! Dells Raceway Park, fansrita.com, Midwest Racing Connection, and Dan Plan, Jano Collectibles, and the Glass Carver. .com. For Billy Doc Niles, Paul the Penguin Reichert, Sam Niles, feature race winner, I'm Radio Man Dan Dyker. For our producer Jesse, we will be back next Saturday right here at noon on 1460 WBOG.
There's the checkered flag. That's this week's edition of the Days Inn Midwest Race Report, brought to you by the Days Inn Hotel and Conference Center, just off the interstate at Exit 2. Big Boar Barbecue on Highway 16 West Salem, home of the Ultimate Platter Challenge. O'Reilly's Auto parts, better prices every day. By the Toma Sparta Speedway, racing Friday nights beginning May 3rd. By FansArena.com, the official clothing supplier for Dan, Doc, and Paul. And by Dells Raceway Park in Wisconsin Dells. Join us next week at the same time for the Days Inn Midwest Race Report on Cool Gold 1460 WBOG.